Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Life, 402, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. You know what the song means. It's 4 o'clock, get up. I don't know why, just do it. I got you for another hour. And the warm-up show will come your way then. Obviously yesterday, maybe you need some sleep. After, I don't think you stayed up that late watching the football games, but we did see a game that ended in my mind. Right, as Giant fans, we're getting sick at the thought of the NFC Championship game between the Eagles and the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels transforming that team into something unbelievable to go in there and beat the Lions on the road. I know the Lions' defense is banked up and they turned the ball over five times, but still, the way he played the game, it's scary to think that he's one win away from getting to the Super Bowl in his rookie season, and now this division with those two teams right now, an NFC East NFC Championship game with Saquon Barkley running for 200 yards and two touchdowns in their win against the Rams, and watching Jaden Daniels, it is not fun times for the New York Giants. We'll get to that in a second. And obviously the people still take it. I'm so tired of Saquon Barkley stuff. I am so tired of what they couldn't sign him. Like, I'm so tired of that conversation. It's been a year. The guy's going to be playing in the NFC Championship game. He's an Eagle. It's over. The Giants have the third pick in the draft. They're terrible. The Eagles were good last year. They're good again. The Giants were terrible last year with Saquon Barkley. They're terrible again. Like, the news is that the Washington Commanders are no longer bottom dwellers. The Washington Commanders are going to be playing for the Super Bowl on Sunday, and all they did was draft one player. That's it. Right? We talk about it. We'll see if they take down Philadelphia. But Philadelphia, years of drafting, building a roster, offensive line, everything most of you Giant fans and football fans want to do, winning culture. How about the Lions, winning culture, building this thing up for years, 3 years, 4 years in the making with Dan Campbell. Biting kneecaps on the way up for 4 years, leading to this moment where they're the number one seed. They built the team. They built the roster. They got a veteran journeyman quarterback who took a team to the Super Bowl, and they didn't want him, so they picked him up. And he's been good indoors, and he's been great at home. And they built an offensive line and a defensive front. I know they're banged up, obviously. But still, this team with all of its weapons, its running game, its double-headed attack, Montgomery back and healthy, 8.5-point favorites in this game. They did everything right. They've been ascending. They've built the team. They've drafted well. They've made good decisions with the roster. They've got an excellent head coach. It's exactly what you want. And they got beat by a team who drafted a quarterback. No building, no winning culture, no building the roster up. This is a roster that won 4 games last year, the second pick in the draft. It's not this great, talented roster with a great offensive line and a winning culture, and they've done it the right way and gone about it in the right process. New head coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. And suddenly here they are, 12 wins, playing, beating the one seed on the road, and getting ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles to see if they can go to the Super Bowl. What'd they do? They didn't draft forever. They didn't trade down and get a ton of picks and help fill a roster full of holes. They drafted the right quarterback. And that has made all the difference. 888-808-1019. And we saw the game between the two quarterbacks last night. The final thing for me last night was utter, absolute disappointment. I was completely, it was such an unsatisfying feeling the way that game ended last night. Because we went into the game, right? Obviously, these two great quarterbacks, Allen, Lamar, who's going to have the right for another crack at the great one? Who's gonna step up one more time to take on Patrick Mahomes? These two guys who are the clear-cut two favorites for the MVP. Lamar has had the probably better statistical season, while Allen has led this Buffalo Bills team that was supposed to take a step back this year and not supposed to be as good. And yet here they are again, number two seed, division champs. And he's had an unbelievable year. And we were going to find out which one, what was the narrative coming, what were we going to find out coming out of this game? Is it Lamar Jackson's just not good in the playoffs? Lamar Jackson got over that. Lamar Jackson had the great game. Allen, was he able to, you know, take this team that's probably less talented than Baltimore, underdogs at home? Was he going to be able to make the big plays to win the game? And on some level, obviously, he did. He has two rushing touchdowns. He played a clean, crisp game, no mistakes. But ultimately, I come away, especially the way the game ended, where I didn't get any of that. I didn't get Josh Allen, who had an opportunity with third and two at the goal line for a chance to win the game and put a stranglehold on it and go up two scores and end this thing. And he couldn't do it. And then Lamar, who absolutely started, we thought we were on the way to playoff Lamar sucks, right? He has the terrible interception. He has the fumble in the first half. They're down 11 points at the half. Buffalo goes down at the end of the half, puts it in the end zone. They get the ball in the second half. That famous Mike Francesa double dip where you score going in, you score coming out of the half. And it felt like maybe this was going to be Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. They got away from running the football like they did last year against Kansas City. And the narrative of Baltimore was going to be played out where if Josh Allen comes out in the first drive of the second half and puts it in the end zone, you could forget this game's probably going to become non-competitive the rest of the way. And instead, they get a three and out, and Lamar Jackson leads them back. And they're in the process of coming, like as poorly as he played in the first half, and as much as they got away from the run, they got back to the run, he was making plays, they stopped Buffalo on their first two drives, they get a field goal and a touchdown to bring them within 2 points. They chased that tie instead of just kicking the extra point, which it obviously comes back to bite them in the end because they need a two-point conversion. Which I don't like. I thought Harbaugh had a bad game too. Again, we all know Monken and the game plan. They got away from the run early. They got back to it in the second half. But I hate 3 minutes left. What was it? 2 minutes left in the third quarter. I'm not chasing points to tie a game there. I know I'm going to need more points to score and beat them anyway. I'll take the one, and I'll worry about that later. And as it happened at the end of the game, it would have been nice to only need an extra point. But Lamar Jackson leads them back. He gets the ball back again after a field goal, puts them up five, puts Buffalo up five, and he is going down the field. And now this is now three consecutive drives they've scored. They found their run game. Henry's back involved. They're making plays, and it felt like they weren't stopping him. And then the Mark Andrews game happened, where earlier in the game, before the fumble, he has a big drop. He has the fumble in the big possession in the second half. That's the play of the game because, again, they're going in. Buffalo was unable to stop Baltimore once they got it rolling in the second half. And they are absolutely going in. And he tries to make an extra play instead of just catching it, going straight ahead for another 5 or 6 yards, maybe 10 yards, getting tackled. He tries to get around the corner and see if he can get to the edge and try and make a big play down the sideline. And he gets it punched out. And that moment was the game. Because even though they had the opportunity, even though Josh Allen couldn't take advantage and put the ball in the end zone, it was a terrible play call, you know, as they had an opportunity to go in with 3 minutes left and end this game, third and two. They've been successful, the Bills and Josh Allen, at this, you know, you know, at the quarterback sneak or just the tush push sort of with Allen. They've been successful with it. Instead of just doing that twice like Romo was calling for, they line up in the they line up in shotgun and cost themselves half a yard. They're forced to kick a field goal and give Lamar Jackson the opportunity. And that's why I'm so unsatisfied, because as poorly as he played at the start and the two mistakes, Lamar Jackson has the ball with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go down the field and see if he can slay his playoff demons, tie this game, and send it to overtime with all the momentum in Baltimore's favor. And he does it. He takes them down the field. He leads them down the field. He makes big plays. He throws a big-time touchdown, obviously, to likely, after the Bills decide not to apply any pressure and give him 35 seconds back there. But he does it. After all of it, after all the playoff Lamar, everybody, here it is, mistakes, they're getting away from the run game, the Ravens can't help but hurt themselves, and he goes down the field, and then he needs the two-point conversion, and he puts it right in his hands. Puts it right in Andrew's hands, and he drops it. And so that's why I'm unsatisfied, because that's a crappy way to end this thing. Lamar Jackson does it. He goes down the field. He makes the play. And then even the two-point conversion, if it was a bad throw, if he got sacked, if Buffalo makes a big play, whatever, he's got a full-in touchdown with the ball in his hands, and he just drops it. And now that they got Patrick Mahomes waiting for Buffalo, and it should be a great game, but as well as they played at home, I don't know if they, like, I thought the Ravens were the better team, and I thought the Ravens were going to win the football game. And they had a chance to end it, and they couldn't. As great as he was, he had a chance to end it, and he couldn't. And then the defense had a chance to make a stop, and they couldn't. And the only reason that we're talking about Buffalo, Kansas City, is because Mark Andrews fumbled the ball, and Mark Andrews dropped a two-point conversion. And so, ultimately, unsatisfied. But I will be pumped for the Buffalo game against Kansas City. I have a tough time thinking Kansas City is going to lose the game, though. I really do. I don't know why this Kansas City team, they weren't overly inspiring against the Texans. They didn't play a great game. In fact, I thought early on in the game, Mahomes didn't play well. He was missing receivers. He did not have his best game, but he found it. Obviously, a huge game for Kelce, who now has become this, you know, I mean, he's Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, over the course of the regular season, he's not as old and injured and you know, like Stan, but he's not the impact player over the course of the regular season that he just becomes in the postseason. He turns on the switch, their chemistry, and he has these unbelievable games. He's great in this game, over 100 yards receiving, the big touchdown. And that dynamic duo, it just seems like whenever they need a play, they'll find it. And this Buffalo team that, you know, to me was unable, despite winning the game, unable to seal the deal against Baltimore. I mean, Kelce's not dropping that two-point conversion. And if you allow Patrick Mahomes to have 3 minutes to break your heart, he will. So we'll see what happens. Should be a good game. And the NFC game, I guess I'll be rooting for Philadelphia, because I can't, I don't know about rooting, it's a strong word, but I will be more sick if the Washington Commanders win that game than I will be if Saquon Barkley could run for 1,000 yards. I don't care. Why stop caring? I'm sick of it. But I don't care. If Jaden Daniels is ready to win this game, his rookie season, this division just became impossible. If he's already, I mean, he's to go in and do what he did in Detroit, it's enough. Winning 12 games is enough. Watching him play is enough. But if he's ready as a rookie to go into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl, man, a team that was with us at the bottom of the division, a team that was struggling, a franchise that couldn't figure it out, made one correct draft pick, and now they are right there playing for Super Bowls? No rookie, as the Fliegelman sends me a note, no rookie quarterback has ever won a conference championship game. So no, if he wins the game, he will be the first rookie in history to go to the Super Bowl. No rookie quarterback has ever won a championship game. I'm sorry. Give me the Eagles, who've been there twice in the last 6 years, won a Super Bowl. Give me the team that I... Give me the devil I know. The Eagles have been great forever. The Eagles are a good franchise. Like, we can despise them, and I do, more than any other team. If you're a Giants fan, there's no doubt. The Eagles are the nemesis. They are, in my mind, if you're 40 years old or less, like maybe if you're, you know, 60 or 70 and you want to hate the Cowboys, I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, if you're 40 or younger, 45 or younger, I don't know how it's not Philadelphia. They beat them at every single stinking turn. And the Giants have beat the Cowboys in the playoffs on the way to a Super Bowl more recently than the Cowboys. So, I mean, like, to me, it's not even close. But having said that, I'm used to them winning. They've been in the Super Bowl a couple times. Are you telling me this Washington Commanders team, who Daniel Jones beat regularly, is all of a sudden, because they drafted the right quarterback, by the way, nothing else. The Eagles have been building and building and building, roster building, drafting, offensive line, defensive linemen. The Lions building, 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 years in the making. The Commanders drafted a quarterback. Poof! Here they are. Just like that. And if that quarterback and that team pull off something no rookie quarterback has ever done, and I got to watch Washington in the Super Bowl, when last year they were losing to Daniel Jones. That's so much more of a tougher pill to swallow. And especially Hard Knocks. Forget Hard Knocks and all the Saquon stuff. How about Hard Knocks knowing this coach, this regime, knew exactly what he was going to be? And if they would have traded Saquon Barkley 2 years ago instead of holding on to him because they were afraid the team was falling apart, if they would have just moved on from him, let the team fall apart, maybe they don't beat Green Bay with Tommy DeVito. Maybe they don't beat New England with Tommy DeVito. And maybe they don't beat Philadelphia the last game of the year. And maybe they draft Daniels. I tweeted this out during the game. The thing about this is that makes it so frustrating is the Giants weren't good enough to make Saquon Barkley what he is with Philadelphia. They weren't good enough. They couldn't get it right. They couldn't fix the offensive line. They couldn't get the team good enough. They wasted this Saquon Barkley. He was great as rookie year, but we've never seen this Saquon Barkley. The Giants weren't good enough to allow Saquon Barkley to be this good for them. But they also weren't bad enough to get the great quarterback. And watching these two, it's like, it's so maddening. As bad as they've been, they won just enough games to prevent this kind of turnaround. Because make no mistake, this is what can happen. It's what happened in Houston. It's what's happening in Washington. You get the right guy, the whole thing changes. Don't tell me Washington had a great offensive line. What a great roster. They're not a great roster. They have a great quarterback. And they have belief in themselves now. But I'm sorry. One of two things are going to happen. The Eagles are going to be in the Super Bowl, and I've seen them there twice in the last 6 years. Or the Washington Commanders, who were right there with the Giants as the worst team in the NFL, are suddenly playing in the Super Bowl. And I got to deal with this young quarterback for the next 15 years in the NFC East. And he's good enough to go to the Super Bowl rookie year. Forget that, man. I'm sorry, I'm pulling for the Eagles. 888-808-1019. Let's take Eric and Ronkonkoma real quick. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Man, good morning. Just out here crawling around, taking my time, delivering these papers to people.
Yeah, but, take your time. Be careful. How's the weather in Ronkonkoma? Do you guys get a lot of
snow? We only got a couple inches. You know, some of these side streets are a little...
I got damn near a foot up by me.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I got almost. It's got to be almost a foot.
You're a little more north, right? I believe.
Yes. But, yes.
So just be careful
Orange
going
County.
Back. But you know, But look, I can certainly understand the sentiment on that. I mean, yeah, everyone knows that the Giants were in need of a quarterback, so obviously a team in the same division getting one that you guys coveted, and even, you know, it was evidence all over the place you guys were looking at him. You know, they're certainly you're gonna be more annoyed if he gets to the Super Bowl. So I can certainly get that. As far as yesterday, though, I mean, look, you know, it's almost a shame, though, that the I mean, I thought both games were good. I fell asleep in the second half of the second game, but the you know it's a shame the Rams didn't go to that no huddle earlier in the fourth quarter. You know,
they found themselves offensively later in the game. I mean, they went right down the field to get that first touch first touchdown of the fourth quarter.
Right.
There,
I really think they would have won that.
Yeah, I thought they had an excellent opportunity. I thought Stafford was going to – I was, you know, obviously hoping and rooting like hell. I was
sure.
I thought Stafford had a chance there. I thought he was making the move. They found themselves. They were doing that – you're right, the no huddle to kind of hinder the pass rush of Philadelphia that killed them at times. And how good is Carter? I mean, he's just – they have a bunch of really good players, Philadelphia. So,
yeah.
I mean, but, yeah, I thought so too. And listen, and thank you for the call. Eric, I appreciate it. They didn't listen. That was a weird game. The snow game, obviously falling all over themselves. Stafford makes just an absolute boneheaded decision on his turnover. Like, if that, you know, the snow really impacted the game and the way it was played, and then they found their offense a little bit at the end there. And I thought because of the missed extra point. And because of the safety safety and everything, like, they had a chance to win that game. It's shocking because it felt like watching the game, I never really thought the Rams were going to win up until the last drive of the game. Up until that last drive of the game, I really didn't think the Rams were capable of winning the football game. But, you know, Stafford's a dangerous quarterback. McVay is an excellent head coach. And even that last play, like, I don't know. I thought – I got to look back. I thought Stafford had somewhat of a clean pocket. He just threw the ball out of bounds. I mean, the weather's tough. The elements are tough. But, look, Philadelphia right now heading into this game and what we saw, I mean, you need Hurts to be healthy enough to be able to do some things. Like, he's got to be able to roll out in the pocket. Like, he doesn't have to be – you know, he had some long runs early in the game. They had the long touchdown run. Like, he doesn't need to be able to do that, but he's got to be mobile. That safety after he got the knee injury and then that safety, it looked like he could barely move. Like, that's not a play. He's typically able to at least get out of the tackle lines and throw the ball away. Like, it looked like he was unable to move. Later in the game, he did roll out a little bit and looked a little bit healthier, and we'll see his status is, you know, I'm sure he's going to play, but he's clearly banged up. But they don't need a lot from him because obviously they've won without the passing game. You'd like to get the passing game going, but the Eagles kind of don't need it. They play defense. They run the football. And they make just enough plays in the passing game. They'll have to make a little more in the passing game if Hurts is immobile. Like, if Hurts can't make those runs and be part of the running attack, then they're going to have to expand and make the offense a little bit more versatile with more of a passing game than they've had in these two games. I mean, which have been, you know, non-existent. But looking at it now, I'm terrified Washington's going to win this game. I shouldn't say terrified because I'll enjoy watching Philadelphia go down. But I'm nervous that Jaden Daniels is about to be the next great player in this league, like the great player in this league. I'm worried he's going to be the man of the NFL. Because that's what he looks like. And honestly, with Philadelphia, I know Washington can't stop the run. That's one of their main problems, and I'm sure, you know, Barkley's going to have a big day, but it comes down to quarterback play. It'll come down to big games. It'll come down to mistakes. And Washington's already proved they'll make less mistakes than teams that are better than them. So it's going to be an interesting game. Both championship games are pretty good matchups. Should be fun. And we're going to play the game. Can Josh Allen finally take down Kansas City? Because I talked about it. I was rooting for Kansas City this week. I wanted Kansas City to win because I wanted this game against either Lamar or Josh Allen. I didn't want them to lose to the Texans, but I desperately want them to go down. I do not want them to win their third straight championship. I want them to go down. I think all of America will be rooting for Josh Allen this weekend.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 431. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Fliegelman on the other side is trying to tick me off, and he's right. The worst part, this is actually a funny line. The worst part of if Jaden Daniels beats the Eagles and goes to the Super Bowl, the worst part of the week ahead, because, you know, it's a week. You got to live in it for a week, man. It's just, it's brutal. So, but the worst part will be all the radio hits that Tommy DeVito does selling tomato sauce on Radio Row. Knowing that Tommy DeVito and that the Tommy Cutlets era of Giants football is a huge reason why Jaden Daniels is the quarterback for the Washington Commanders and not the New York Giants. Tommy DeVito doing radio hits on Radio Row selling Rao's tomato sauce is going to piss me off. what do you expect him to do, not win? Yeah, I expect him to not win. That's what I expect. It is what it is.
Commanders did.
Right, like the Commanders did. Exactly right, right? The Jets beat him on a last-second field goal. That's what I expected. Look, I understand. I'm mad at the circumstances. It's okay to be mad and not have to not be able to say, like, Brian Daboll, no, don't coach to win. No, don't play. I mean, they're playing Tommy DeVito. I'm mad at the Green Bay Packers for losing that game and then getting hot. And playing the way they did throughout the playoffs. Like, I'm mad at the situation. That's okay. It's okay to be mad at the situation. And the season was still too early to just, you know, completely tank. Although, I think the argument could be made the Giants should have traded away Saquon Barkley. Do you remember all the talk around why they didn't trade Saquon Barkley? Because they knew they didn't want him. That's the other thing. They knew they didn't want him. They knew they weren't going to sign him at that point. But they didn't trade him because they didn't want the team to fall apart. because Giants coaches and GMs have been fired 2 years in before. If the team just absolutely bottoms out, there's no telling how John Mara reacts. So instead of trading Saquon Barkley, actually getting value for him, and maybe you get lucky and the team falls apart and you lose all these games, and instead of Brian Daboll sitting with his feet up in the offices of, you know, Giant Stadium, being asked whether or not he would be willing to trade up for Jaden Daniels, maybe they'd be sitting there talking about taking Jaden Daniels. Instead of asking him if he wanted to be a Giant, they could have just told him he is a Giant. And I know that's revisionist history, and I should get over it, much like I'm telling you all to get over Saquon Barkley, but it's, as I'm going to watch him go to the Super Bowl, I have a weird feeling he's going to win the game. I do. If Hurts, and we'll get more into the game as we get closer to Sunday, as we get closer to the weekend and Football Friday, the last, I suppose, real Football Friday of the year. If Hurts is unable to be the threat in the run game, if Washington can just sell out stopping Saquon Barkley, I think Jaden Daniels is good enough to beat him. I do. And it's going to bother me. I'm telling you. I'm sorry, Giant fans. I'm not rooting for the Eagles. I'll never actually openly root for them. But at the end of the say we come to a circumstance where they're down, Washington's down 4 points, and Jaden Daniels gets the ball with 3 minutes left, like we saw Lamar Jackson last night. Or, you know, an opportunity to win the game with a final drive. It's going to be hard for me hoping he pulls it off. It's going to be hard hoping that I watch the next young, great quarterback in this division, who the Giants missed out on because of Tommy Cutlets, go down the field, put it in the end zone, and send the Washington Commanders to the Super Bowl. That is going to be an extremely tough pill to swallow. As opposed to watching Saquon Barkley take the Eagles somewhere they've been twice in the last 6 years. That one, it just sounds less hurtful to me. It sounds less painful. Saquon Barkley went to a Super Bowl caliber team, and guess what? They're a Super Bowl caliber team. News, great. Great. I'm heartbroken about it. But Jaden Daniels just lifted up a 4-win team and the second overall pick in the draft to the Super Bowl in year one, and he's here forever in this division? That is an impossible pill to swallow. 888-808-1019. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
Good morning.
Yes.
Hello, Buffalo. We are here in AFC Championship game.
You certainly are.
Here we are. The old enemy is here. Oh, my God. There are two things. The first, how satisfying this victory is. Kudos to my coach, McDermott.
Yeah.
Because George Allen does not have a great, great game, the Superman game, and he win it with his defense. The first quarter, when they stopped the run on Henry, he's so big, and our defensive line is so small. The game plan, okay, the third quarter, he does a little bit of it, but everybody was they were going to roll past, run past the thing, and Lamar Jackson, if I don't win a Super Bowl, I want Lamar Jackson to win. Kudos to him. But the three plays that he said, why did he didn't go for a push on the third, because it was a little bit further away. And last time when he was playing St. Louis, and we tried a push and it didn't happen. And 95%, we were arguing, a lot of people were arguing that he should go for third, as Tony Romo was saying, on third and goal and fourth and goal, he should have gone. If he would have gone in fourth and one and make it, Lamar Jackson would have won the game. This way, at least we couldn't have lose the game, and Josh Allen would have gotten the ball back to finish off the game. So we have three plays. Lamar Jackson has to play the touchdown, and then he has to convert a two-pointer. And after that, Josh Allen would have gotten the ball. Even he would have made the touchdown. So that was the right play. Kudos to McDermott. Kudos to Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson, you proved that you are an MVP candidate, but we won the game. Thank you very much. Buffalo Mafia, we are ready for next week. Let's finish up Kansas City.
Enjoy it, Omar. Congratulations. And thank you for the call. I don't know if I agree with you, though. I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I agree with you. Because, again, if he dropped the ball, I get it. If he doesn't drop the ball, you're going to overtime with all the momentum in the favor of Baltimore. All the momentum. And, yes, you stopped the run. You did, I suppose. And I don't know why you did a good job against it. But then they didn't run the football for a while. Like they should have stuck with it. I'm not trying to knock the Bills. They had a great game plan. But at the end of the game, like, I'm sorry. The last couple of drives, Baltimore has been doing whatever they want. Now, I understand you got to get a 2-point conversion as well. I get it. I'm not saying kicking it was the right thing on the fourth down, considering the third down play. But I do agree with Tony Romo. I would have run the tush push and see how close I get. If I could get it, obviously great. Even if I don't, if I'm inches, if I'm fourth in inches, I mean, what do you like better? Your odds of getting a fourth in inches play or stopping Lamar Jackson from going down the field? Like, I would have, if he runs the tush push and then it's fourth in inches, I go for it. I'm trying to win the game right there. I'm trying to win the game right there. And if I don't get it, I leave them up against the end zone, and I got to play defense. Now, again, even at the end of the game, I think it was, what, a minute 22? Josh Allen still would have had a minute and 20 seconds or so, and I think they had two timeouts. So he would have had time to make a drive. He would have had time to try something. But I think you go for it. I want to go for the kill. And I'm telling you right now, Omar, if you have a chance to go for the kill against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, you better. I think you have to. I am not giving Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce, I am not giving them a chance to beat me. If I have a third and two at the goal line to go up two scores with 3 minutes left, I'm going for it. Against Lamar Jackson to go up eight, I'll take my chances. Against Patrick Mahomes, I'm not doing it. Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to win the football game. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know if the Bills really stopped the run. I mean, if you look at it, and I said they stopped running the football. I mean, the idea Derrick Henry only has 16 carries in this game, and he's running it. He was running at 5.3 yards per clip. Justice Hill had 6 carries for 50 yards. Lamar Jackson, I mean, so Justice Hill, if you look at the backs, Derrick Henry was running 5.3 yards per carry. Justice Hill was running 8.3 yards per carry. Lamar Jackson, 6.5 yards per carry. As a team, and then you include a couple tush pushes from Mark Andrews, as a team, they were rushing for almost 6 yards a pop. They stopped running the football in the second quarter. I don't know why. They got back to it in the second half a little bit. You want to say early on, you know, Buffalo made it difficult for them? I don't even know if that's true, to be honest with you. But the Ravens stopped running the football. And that's when they had the two turnovers. They had two turnovers in the first half. Two turnovers, Allen puts the ball in the end zone right before the half. They go up 11. They were getting the ball to start the second half. It felt like Buffalo was going to take control of the game, and the Ravens, now they're going to give up on the run, especially down 11. You know, Lamar's going to come out throwing. He's not played well in this game. He has the two turnovers. And then it was a completely different second half. They came out, they got Buffalo on a 3-and-out. Went down the field, kicked the field goal, held Buffalo again, went down the field, scored a touchdown. And before you knew it, within two offensive possessions for the Ravens, they have a 2-point conversion trying to tie the game. Like, it happened that quick. And I hated the decision. I thought Harbaugh made a mistake going for the 2-point conversion and trying to chase points there in the third quarter. You know you're going to have to score more. I'd rather just take the point and make it one. And then I know, worst case scenario, I give up another touchdown, I'm still down 8. I'd rather have that than possibly a touchdown and be down 9 if I don't get the 2-point conversion. It's too early. It was too early in the game to chase the 2-point conversion. Too early. But whatever the case may be, then the next drive, they give up a field goal to make it a 5-point game, and then they're going down the field. They're going down the field to stick in the end zone and take the lead, and then Mark Andrews fumbles. That is, without, in my mind, and you know, it's not rocket science here, but that to me is the absolute 100% play of the game. That Andrews fumble completely changed the game. They were going in. They had scored on 3 straight possessions, and they were having their way. They had the run back established, and they were moving the ball. That was going to end up in points. At the very least 3, it was going to end up probably being in the end zone. That was a critical fumble from Andrews. And then he has the drop. I mean, Andrews had, for a guy who's been, you know, right there, you know, and now he just broke the record this year. He's got the most touchdowns in franchise, most receiving touchdowns in franchise history. He's been right up there as one of the top, you know, he's one of the top 2 or 3 tight ends of this generation. He's had an incredible career. He's their go-to guy. It's been a weird year for him. I don't think he was healthy to start the year, but Isaiah Likely kind of was getting more of the action in the early part of the year. Then he kind of found himself. And, I mean, this game, he's just awful. He has a drop right before the Lamar Jackson fumble. Then he's got the fumble, and then he drops the 2-point conversion at the end of the game. I mean, Mark Andrews killed them. And that's why I don't feel satisfied, because I don't think Lamar Jackson lost the game. And then, considering how the Bills handled the last possession down at the goal line, I don't think the Bills went out there and won the game. I feel like it was a game of just at the end, the Ravens made that one last critical mistake. They made one more mistake, and I know a lot of games come down to that. I'm not saying it's unique or bad, ugly football or anything like that. It's just these two quarterbacks going against each other for the right to take on Patrick Mahomes. Just as a football fan, I wanted that overtime to see. First off, I wanted the overtime to have fun and watch the game and see who would come out on top. But like, I wanted the definitive answer of Josh Allen. You know, he won this football game. Lamar Jackson won the football game. Lamar Jackson cost. Yet again, the narrative of Lamar Jackson in the playoffs persists. Now, he lost the game and he turned the ball over twice. So maybe in some people's minds it will. But I have a tough time when he led the team down the field and then with 3 minutes left, led them down the field to tie the game and put the ball right in the stomach of his world-class tight end to tie the game. Like, he could not have done more. And for the Bills, same thing. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. The Bills won the turnover battle 3-0 and needed a drop 2-point conversion. So I'm unsatisfied, but hopefully I get satisfied next weekend, as I expect Bills Chiefs to be a massive, massive game.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, last few minutes here on The Fan. 4:52. Got you for another few until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. I haven't talked a lot about the Jets here on this divisional weekend as we get ready now for the championship games. Obviously, the connection of the NFC East being in the NFC Championship game, and Saquon Barkley again, who had an incredible game and also like showed a little bit more emotion. Like, he's kind of been like, he's obviously taunting Verse as he's running down the sidelines, waiting for him, looking at him. Obviously, there was a story about him and his thoughts on Eagle fans and everything. So that was like a thing they played up. He went around the building a little bit and looked at all, you know, got a chance to talk to all the fans, or at least show his face to the fans after making comments anti-Eagles fans. Wow, unbelievable! What a crazy narrative that was. What a wild take. But Saquon was waiting for him, kind of having some fun with that, hitting himself in the head on the breakaway run to end the game, showing some emotion, running around. He was pumped. So as we were watching that debacle, and Giant fans were struggling with it, I wanted to ask, I asked the Jet fan last week, and I'm curious how you'd feel about it now, as Aaron Glenn, who played, you know, obviously had a huge game. I talked about it last week. I said, would it matter, considering the ramifications of this game, how important it is for a head coaching candidate, if it's a coordinator, does it matter how the team plays in this big game. Will this game impact your feeling? And clearly did not have a good day. We know that the injuries that defense has, we get it, right? They're man down. So I understand that, but the one that bothered, the 12 man on the field. How do you have 12 men on the field on a fourth down? That is a disaster. So, I mean, Washington and Jaden Daniels had one hell of a game. Now, they turned the ball over five different times, right? And Goff was awful. Ben Johnson wasn't very good either. I'm wondering if that hurts his candidacy. We're going to see all these guys who are these hot candidates. Now, they've done a lot over the course of the regular season, and Ben Johnson, I would imagine, is still going to be the premier kind of offensive coordinator candidate. But, I mean, pulling out gadget plays, throwing interceptions with your wide receiver when you're, amazingly enough, still kind of in the game despite all the turnovers. And then Aaron Glenn, who's obviously right now right there with Brian Flores, it seems, as one of the top two candidates for the New York Jet job. I mean, I just thought he had a terrible game. And the 12 men on the field, we've seen kind of penalties like that hamper this Jet team forever, right? The pre-snap penalties, the stupid penalties. This is, you're fighting for your life. This is the toughest loss, you could argue, in Detroit history. Like, the Lions have never been to a Super Bowl. This is their year. They're the best team in the NFC. They're welcoming in a rookie quarterback into their building. They're throwing picks all over the place, game on the line, and the defense has a mental miscue, like 12 men on the field on a fourth down play to give them a first down at the goal line? That is a terrible mistake. And, like, I'm just curious. I'm not saying it should cost him a job. I'm not saying that now I wouldn't hire him. I'm just curious the impact that these, whether it's Woody Johnson, any other owner, or, the 33 group that's doing some of the, I'm just wondering, what kind of impact would a terrible performance from a group that a coordinator is coaching, if you were seriously interested in hiring him? Would that make you change your opinion about the way the coach is a candidate for your job, considering he just, in the biggest moment, the biggest game of the year, his defense craps the bed? I don't know if it matters. I'm wondering if it's, because, we talk about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold cost himself $100 million. Sam Darnold might not be a starter. We'll see. The reports are that he's still going to make some money. But, Sam Darnold had a bad game and is going to cost himself all this money. But a guy who's literally going to get hired for how his defense performs gives you that performance in the biggest game of the year and has that kind of mental miscue, doesn't have his guys prepared, doesn't have his guys, understanding that they can't have 12 men on the field on a fourth down. I'm not saying it should, but I'm interested to see if there is any impact, because players clearly get impacted by how they perform in the biggest games. I'm curious, and head coaches certainly get criticized for how they perform, and game plans get criticized, but does it matter when looking to hire a head coach? Well, and plus, look, I wouldn't hire him anyway. I'm looking for an offensive head coach, or I'm looking for a more stabilizing. I want someone who's already coached in the NFL. As far as I know, they still haven't or lined up to talk to Pete Carroll, and they still haven't talked to or lined up to talk to Mike McCarthy. I don't know why. I don't know why everyone else under the sun is suitable for an interview except two guys who have done nothing but win in this league and have Super Bowl rings. I have no idea. And national championship. And the national championship game is tonight. Obviously, we roll back into more football as Ohio State and Notre Dame will battle for the national championship, and we'll see. I don't know if Notre Dame is talented enough. I was listening to Fleas before. I agree with him. I think this is a game where if they end up winning, it's Ohio State making mistakes. And we saw this weekend how important the turnovers are. Baltimore lost the turnover battle 3-0. They're still right there with a 2-point conversion to end the game. So, every single turnover is critical. And every single mistake is critical. And every single show is critical, and this one's over. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fliegelman on the other side, thank you for the help. We got the warm-up show coming up next. We have we'll have a show tomorrow. I'll be back with you at 2 a.m. We'll talk about the championship game. We'll break down more of the championship games coming up. I think it's 1 a.m. tomorrow, but I'll see you whenever. Warm-up show's next. Bye-bye. 101.9 FM.